tonight. Luke's been good to me this week. Luke 19 this evening. Luke 19. I actually didn't realize it until I was going over it this afternoon that somewhat, I guess, the same theme. I guess the theme this morning in part would have been stewardship. Not necessarily, you know, tithing and such, but kind of the same thing tonight, as it turns out. I really hadn't thought about it too much along those lines until I kind of got in the midst of it. But Luke chapter 19, and start here with verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how that every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, well, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, reapest that thou didst not sow. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Said unto him then, take from him the pound, give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, come to a passage tonight I'm sure is familiar to folks' ears. We pray, Lord, that you might open our eyes to something here. And, Father, maybe we'll look at this a little different. And hopefully, Lord, along the way, we might even look at life a little different as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my text is verse 13. The most famous words in the text, I suppose. It says there at the end of the verse, occupy till I come. Delivers 10 pounds to 10 servants, says, occupy till I come. Now, I've heard sermons on occupying. I have preached sermons on occupying. I have cited this passage as a point or subpoint in various sermons and so on and so forth. I have to admit that sometimes now I look back and I think I'm not quite so sure that I'd really gotten a hold of what was in the passage. Suffice to say that a misapprehension about what occupying is certainly will affect your waiting on Jesus Christ. All right? Now, let's get ourselves oriented here. Verse 12, a certain nobleman. You know who that is? Doesn't take a theological genius, does it? Certain nobleman, Jesus Christ, went into a far country. You know where that is? Doesn't take a theological genius to figure that out. To receive for himself a kingdom. Now, that kingdom, this parable is cited, verse 11, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Apparently, he's away receiving the kingdom of God, right? And then having received that kingdom of God, he's going to return. Right? Verse 13, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds. again, just kind of orienting ourselves, anybody here probably knows number 10 is a Gentile number. I mean, it's Acts 10 where the gospel officially goes to the Gentiles. It's John 10 that Jesus Christ reveals to the disciples there are others not of this fold, Israel fold. He's got to go get them, right? I've always taken that to mean Gentiles, not Mormons, by the way. But I mean, the 10 is a Gentile number. Furthermore, notice 10 servants get 10 pounds. Pounds, not talents. Pounds are an English weight of measure and money. By the way, look down in verse 23. When he's talking about pounds in this passage, he's talking about money, not weight. Verse 23. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank? The pound he gave each servant was a pound of money. All right? That'll become important a little bit later. Okay, so look, folks, then you have this reward system from verse 24 to 27 where a guy whose pound gains 10 gets 10 cities, a guy's pound that gains 5 gets 5 cities, and so on. Okay, so everything points to the fact, this occupying is what we are supposed to be doing in the church age as the body of Christ, the Gentiles, correct? By the way, just before I forget, you should notice, and I didn't read down this far, but verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Just take note, okay, that slaying would be the second coming. It would be the Armageddon, right? Notice that the judgment of these servants for their stewardship occurs before that, which means there must be a rapture before that, which fits right in, right? Okay, that all said, I was just, you know, I got thinking about this, again, Occupy, verse 13. I got thinking about Occupy, and I've always had, I guess, preconceptions, misapprehensions about it a little bit, and there are times that I've used it, and I've thought, you know, you ever read part of the Bible you thought you understood, and then there's just this little niggling thing in the back of your mind that's going, now, do you really think you got that? And I have to admit that I've had that a little bit with this passage, occupy till I come. I know I'm supposed to occupy till he comes. But after I looked at this for a little while, realized a couple of things, then some things started falling in place. And so what's here tonight is there are just several descriptive words that popped into mind having gone through the passage now and kind of looked at it in a little bit different light than I'd seen it before. It doesn't change major doctrine or anything. But notice, first of all, verse 13, the title of the message is Occupy. Occupy till I come. Verse 13, now he says, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. Okay, occupy till I come. You guys, occupy till I come back. Okay, we'll stay right here. Right? I'll hold down this piece of ground. My presence will be here when you come back. Is that what it means? It says there, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy. I forgot an important piece of paper, but I'll be good. Occupy till I come. Now, when I think occupy, I probably think, maybe what all of you think, I think occupy, have a presence here. A room has an occupancy, according to the fire codes, right? We look at whether an apartment is occupied or not. If you go into a public bathroom and the stall says occupied, don't go in there. It's holding down a physical presence somewhere. That's how I've always thought of it, and that's how it is a lot. But in verse 13, calls his 10 servants, delivers them 10 pounds, says unto them, occupy till I come. Now, 10 servants get 10 pounds. Notice over in verse 16, apparently each of those 10 servants gets 1 pound. And notice verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, As best I can tell, this occupying has to do with a bestowment. It has to do with the pound that the nobleman delivers to each servant. It's not about standing on a piece of ground, hunkering down, bunkering in. That's not what it is. It's about taking a bestowment, in this case a pound, that he gives you, and being faithful with that pound that he gives you. And if that's the way I'm supposed to understand it, then that changes the whole concept of the passage for me. The important piece of paper that I forgot was a definition from 1828. And basically there are several. And again, occupy many times means a presence. For instance, a military occupation means a military presence in a country, right? But occupy also means to do business. Occupy also, when I say I am occupied with hedge trimming, I am busy hedge trimming, okay? It's not occupying a piece of ground and just hunkering down. It's being occupied doing something with that which I'm occupied with. He says, occupy till I come. I don't believe he means hunker down at all. You're obviously going to have to stay on this earth. That much is true. But I don't think it has anything to do whatsoever with that. Occupy till I come comes back. What did you do with my pound? Each one of those guys got 1 pound. That occupying is not nesting in this world. That occupying is not me being necessarily faithful with this little piece of ground, and me, I'm just gonna have a presence on this ground till Jesus Christ comes. It's not about geography. It's not about whether an apartment is occupied or not. It has to do with what God's given you. Now, we talked this morning about this. It's the same list, kind of. Again, I didn't really realize it till too late. Probably would have preached it anyway, but the Lord's bestowment here is money, right? But the Lord also bestows time. He's given you time. He's given you strength. He's given you youth. He's given you energy. Some of us older ones don't have as much as we used to, which is a good reason to do something with what you do have. Right? I'm talking about a bestowment here. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about a great commission. I'm talking about all the commandments in the Word of God. You've been bestowed these things. You are stewards of the mysteries of God. You're supposed to do something with what He's bestowed. And says in parting, occupy till I come. Don't just stand on this ground and don't let anybody take it. It's not about that. It's about you doing something with what He's bestowed. Bestowment. Now, secondly, along that line, verse 13, I noticed something else. Having realized that, that changed the way I'm looking at the passage, because I'd always read it as occupying in the sense of occupying a piece of ground, occupying a house, a country being occupied by a military type thing. Okay, that's all fine, that's all good, but this changed the way I looked at it, because this has to do with God bestowing on you time and youth and energy and provision and treasure. By treasure, I mean spiritual treasure. All right? So after getting that, and there's a few other things that clicked right in place. Verse 13, called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, okay. He didn't say, there were ways here that he was not specific. He didn't say, servant number one, take this pound, go pay the mortgage and the land taxes with it. Servant number two, take this pound and go buy grain for the stock, and if there's any needs for the barn, then buy that with this. Servant number three, take... He didn't do that. He didn't tell them exactly what to do with their pound. He just said, occupy till I come. Now, you know what I gather from that is it's kind of a non-specific order. He expects them to be faithful in occupying with that pound. But it's kind of non-specific. You know what that tells me? That tells me those servants have to use their own initiative to do what's right with that pound. So the second word is, first word is bestowment. Second word is initiative. There were things that were left to each servant's initiative. How are you on initiative? You've been given bestowments. God's bestowed upon you some things. He's bestowed youth, strength, time, energy, a certain amount of money, less or more. He's bestowed on you a family. He's bestowed on you friends. Okay, those things. Time, money, effort, strength, that sort of stuff. Opportunity. He's bestowed opportunities upon you. We are given instructions. We are told to be ye holy as I am holy. Hey, we're told, redeem the time for the days are evil, right? But he doesn't tell you exactly what to do at 2:12 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. In other words, he's specific without being too specific. If you're going to redeem the time and obey the Bible, you're going to have to use your own initiative and a little bit of ingenuity on your own part to do something with that time, with that youth, with that energy, and with that strength. Right? He says, occupy till I come. Part of occupying is bestowment. That's what he's given you. You've got to be faithful with it. And along the way, it takes initiative to do the right thing with that. Churches actually don't just start up. It takes some initiative on somebody's part, several people's part, to actually get a church started. Tracts, believe it or not, don't just happen to land in the laps of lost people. Somebody has to take the initiative to buy the tracts, stamp the tracts, put some sort of identifying something on the tract so somebody can get help if they need it. Go out some way, somehow. Sometimes use the U.S. Postal Service or use your own hands somehow to go somewhere and get a tract in somebody's hand. It doesn't just happen. It takes initiative. He says, occupy till I come. Occupy with this pound. Don't just stand here on this piece of ground looking up in the sky waiting on me for me to come back. Take this pound and do something with it. Occupy till I come. On your own initiative, I'll give you general instructions. Be ye holy as I am holy. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But it's going to take your initiative to do something with the time and the effort and the strength and the provision and the youth that I've given you to do something with. Occupy till I come. Then I looked furthermore. Look down in verse 16. Where it says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Verse 18, the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Occupy till I come. He could have added a P.S. because this is how he judged them. Occupy till I come with this pound that I've bestowed upon you. It's going to take some initiative on your part to do it. When I come back, I expect the pound to have gained. So the third word I want to mention to you is gain. In this passage, it's gain by trading. Now, that sounds like capitalism to me. But Mr. Obama may be right. I don't know. But, I mean, physically, economically, it's capitalism. But you understand there's some spiritual aspects to this too. God's bestowed on you time, youth, strength, provision, said occupy till I come, giving you something to do, giving you a mind, some ingenuity, and says be faithful with this, and I expect it to gain, have gained. when I come back. Occupy does not mean squat. Occupy does not mean hunker down. Occupy does not mean bunker in. Occupy means be faithful, use some ingenuity, some initiative to take this that I've given you and make it gain something. Occupy till I come. Some things can be measured in some degree, quantitatively. Some of you probably kept up with how many souls you might know that you've led to Christ. I don't know. So maybe there's that. But again, there's also energy and time. Can you account that the energy and youth that God's given you, the strength God's given you, opportunity God's given you, that to serve Him, that it's not just spent in bills and trying to pay off this or that or the other and buy a new toy. But can you account as gain the time you've been given and served the Lord with? Has there been spiritual... When the Lord comes back, will you be able to say, this gained something more than what I had when I started? Think about that. Camp gets expensive. I know that. I'm very sensitive to the fact that we're talking $165 a head to go to camp and all that. By the time you have a family of four or a family of six, well, that starts adding up to a little bit of money. I understand. And I'm not railing on anybody here at all. Think about, though, the money you spend at camp, what you're investing in your kids. And think one day the Lord comes back. I mean, look, my son number one kind of found a wife at camp. We like her. She's the mother of my granddaughters. I like her. I'm not just saying, don't just do it to get a wife. But I'm saying, you throw some stuff like money and time and running the wheels on your car to go somewhere to do something. And when the Lord comes back and says, okay, what did you do with that $165? Well, this year we threw it into this, and this is kind of what came out of it. That's a good deal. How about the amount of time and effort you've spent, some of you, in going to Eastern Europe once or twice, or maybe three times, or Brother Dave, more than that. You're going to be able to say one day that however many thousands of dollars you've spent to go to Bulgaria or whichever Eastern European country, those things have already qualitatively and quantitatively gained. You've occupied well. My point is, folks, there's 1,000 things we could talk about with this. It's just that we get so accustomed to living here. Just bills and water pumps and the cat's got the mange, and it's just right there. And you just sometimes forget what you're doing. You're occupying, and you're trying to take youth and time and energy and, yeah, money and material and stuff and turn it into something, right, that the Lord can use. Does God gain by your occupying? Back to time for just a second. Facebook. I know people that spend a lot of time making sure all of their Facebook friends know everything that's going on in their lives. And I can hear it said now, and I understand. Well, I'm a parent, so I have Facebook so I can keep up with what my kids are doing. I understand that. Okay. I have Facebook because I'm a missionary in Timbuktu, and it's easy to stay in touch with some people in that manner. And I understand that. But some people... I will ask you to do a favor for the Lord, because you can't justify all the time that some of you spend on Facebook. How about you go on your Facebook, what is it, account or page or whatever? How about you go on there and erase every picture that you have posted that's just a little bit near the edge? How about you go in there and all the stuff that you have written mean? I mean, let's face it, folks. You can use it for good, just like, I mean, Hitler built some really good highways. Okay? The Ku Klux Klan probably did something right somewhere. But you can use anything to a degree right. But listen, what people use Facebook for is nothing but hurtful, gossipy nonsense. It combines the absolute worst in a lot of different stuff. It's just glorified gossip. There is pornography, essentially, posted there on 12 and 14-year-old girls' and guys' sites. You see more expletives on Christian Facebook pages that you never hear them in church, but they will. It's the weirdest thing. People put the worst dirty laundry possible on Facebook, and then they just can't understand why people are talking about them. It's stupid. Do the Lord a favor. You cannot convince Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ that the 2 hours that you spent a day messing around on Facebook is justifiable, gainful time. Do the Lord a favor. Go erase the junk and find something to do. Brother Stephen's rant for the day. So, bestowment, initiative, gain. How about this? Look in chapter 19, verse 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, notice thy pound. Verse 18, thy pound. Down in verse 20, thy pound. Would you notice the word possession? He gave these guys their bestowment. In this case, money. In other cases, time. In other cases, strength, provision, open doors, opportunities. And these servants, however long he was gone, worked with that pound that he gave them. And when he came back, he said, they each said, this was thy pound. This is yours, Mr. Nobleman. In our case, the Lord. This is your pound. I put it to work and I've gained other pounds, but this original one, that was your pound. Okay, now folks, we always say, oh yeah, my car is God's. My family is God's. And then you don't really live like that. How about you really do think about this as the time God's given you to invest, it really is His time. The strength God's given you to work with, it really is His time. The youth, the provision, the opportunity, it's something that He's given. It's His. You go do something with it on your own initiative. You know, in Hosea 2, the Lord is all over Israel for being essentially a harlot. And he says, you know, I took you, you know, from being, you know, a whore, essentially, and I've given you these things. And now you've returned back to your old ways. You have gone back and you have served other gods. You have committed whoredoms upon me. And all the time you've said this, you've said, I'm going to take these possessions that I've got and go back to the other guy and serve him. He said, and what you don't know is that the corn and the wine and the silver and the gold that you're taking and using to go serve your other gods, I gave them to you. It's like taking, ladies, your husband's diamond ring that he gave you for an engagement ring or whatever, and going and hawking it and spending it on some other guy you picked up in Vegas somewhere.
That's the picture. Look, it's thy pound. It's God's pound. Talking about possession. How about the word authority? Verse 17. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You get authority over 10 cities. Because of your initiative in taking my 1 pound and having authority to do with as you will by your own initiative with this 1 pound I've given you, because you have ruled well over that, invested it rightly, traded with it rightly, it's now gained. Now I will give you authority over something much greater. It's authority. Think about being the master, the authority, knowing that God is ultimately the master, but think about being the master of your time. How often have we said, oh, the time just got away from me, I just don't know what happened. Well, how about you take authority over the time you've got and control it as much as you can? How about the strength that you have? How about all that energy you have? You have all this energy to go, you know, bowl 3 times a week or whatever you do, right? How about taking some of the energy and taking authority over that energy, counting it God's, and seeing what you can make of it spiritually? Don't want to get bogged down here. Look in verse 15. There's something very obvious here. He commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. That's accountability. Accountability for each pound. And just think of occupy till I come. The occupation did not have to do with hunkering down and, you know, being like a sumo wrestler. This is where I stand. I'm an immovable object. It's not about that. It's about you taking a bestowment from God and turning it into something. Because you're going to be accountable for that. We got to face it. We're going to be accountable for our time. We're going to be accountable for our opportunities. Right? We do what we can and all that. Everybody will concede that we can do more. You need to personally realize you're going to give account for the time and the energy and the money and the provision that goes through your fingers like sand. And you either do something profitable and gainful with it, or you don't. Now, there's something else that's kind of neat here, and I had not thought about this till today. Verse 14. Okay, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Okay? He's got 10 servants. Gives them orders. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Came to pass, then he comes back, holds his 10 servants accountable. That's the first thing he says. Call my servants. I want to know if they've been profitable servants to me. Right? Then notice all the way down at the end of the passage, verse 27. After having settled all of that, verse 27, but those, mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, slay them before me. Would you see there the concept of priority? I'm talking about the Lord's priority. By that I mean, the Lord, if this passage is true, and we already pointed out the second coming of Christ and Armageddon, down in verse 27, and the fact that this judgment happens before that, it's the judgment seat of Christ, right? The Lord Jesus Christ calls the stewards, the servants first, to be accountable before he goes and deals with the revolt and the uprising among the citizenry in his kingdom. Now, if I'm a king and I go away for a while and come back, and get back, and the citizenry is in a mess. They're in open revolt. They have the lice-infested hippies down picketing the stock market and stuff like they did here back earlier in the year. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, the stewards can wait. We'll deal with that later. I'm going to go kill somebody right now. But I would have you take note here that how you occupy is more important to God. It's more of a priority to the Lord than what Congress is doing. And what a reprobate you-know-who is. Right? I'm telling you, you look at the passage, this is God's priority. We're busy worrying about the next Obama administration and how bad Congress is and whether Harry Reid's going to get kicked out or not and all that kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter is, that stuff is secondary to God. He is more concerned about what you're doing with your time, your money, your strength, and your effort for Him and whether it's gaining anything or not than He is about all the nonsense the heathen can do in revolting against Him. It's a shame that America is in revolt against the God that helped found their country. It's a terrible thing. Personally, I don't think the Lord has any headaches about it. I think He has more headaches and more concerns about what people like me and you are doing. If this is any indication, that's true. Now notice just a few more words, just a couple more, all right? Verse 13 again. Called His 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. Okay, there's only 10 servants. I don't know how big the citizenry was, but there's only 10 servants. Okay, that's a minority. I'm sure you have a concept of the fact that you're in a minority. And you are. But the Lord is more concerned about that minority of 10 and put that in a population of, I don't know what, a citizenry of 50,000, 100,000, a million, I have no clue. I don't know who the nobleman was, at least in a worldly sense. My point is, whatever's the case, it's more than 100, more than 1,000, more than 10,000 probably. And the Lord is more concerned about what that 10 are doing as opposed to the whole country being in revolt and refusing to honor God. You're in the minority, yes. It should be expected. Now, there's one other thing I would say. Look down in verse 14. But His citizens hated Him, sent a message after Him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Okay? So there's adversity. The citizenry, first of all, you have only 10 servants. The citizenry hates the nobleman. Therefore, when each of these servants comes in with the nobleman's pound, they are known to be the nobleman's servants. So when they come in to trade with their pound, every merchant along the street is interested in taking them for as much as he possibly can. Okay, there is adversity. Anything they try to do for their much-hated nobleman meets with resistance. And they have to be very wise and wily with their dickering, with their bartering on the streets to make this gain in trading, because everybody is against them. That tells me that every pound that was gained, the guy that gained 10 pounds, every pound was hard-earned. I mean, it was earned with blood, sweat, and tears. For the guy that earned 5, every pound was hard-earned. For you, the time that you spend, I mean, I've been in Minnesota 25 years. We have a church, thank God for it, but you would have hoped 25 years ago to have had a greater impact on the community than we have, wouldn't you? I mean, you would like to see, like in the old days, where everybody on Little House on the Prairie comes to church on Sunday morning and crams themselves into that little building because, you know, that's the way you're supposed to do things. Well, it doesn't happen that way. My point, folks, is that you might as well settle in your mind that everything that you do with everything that God's bestowed and with all your initiative and whatever ingenuity you have, every pound, every gain is going to be hard-earned. everything you're able to impart in your kids is going to be hard-earned. Okay? It's the way things are. Because we have an adversary. Now, I say all this because how you conceptualize occupying in your mind affects how you wait for God to come back, the Lord to come back and get us. If you conceptualize, okay, occupy till I come. Okay, I'll stay right here. I'm not moving. Okay? That's not it. There are Baptists that are Baptists because they're Baptists. Their grandfathers were Baptists. The Baptists were Baptists. And so, bless God, we're Baptists. Now, I have a better reason for being a Baptist. You know what I'm saying? And my point is, listen, folks, how I conceptualize the fact that God's told me to occupy. He's given me stuff to do. And how I occupy with that stuff. It's not about standing in one place, having the right name and all that kind of stuff. It's about you doing something with what God's bestowed. Occupy till I come. And He wants gain in the end. I'm not trying to turn this into a numbers game. That's not what it's about. Okay? But God wants gain back. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for Your love and goodness to us here. We think about these things and regret probably at times to have misunderstood all the implications here. Lord, I pray You help us. Give us some insight. Father, if somebody needs some inspiration on what they can do, Father, show them that. Help us to diligently seek out these things and seek opportunity to do something, to do more. Perhaps it means to do something a little different without compromising something. But give us insights, a little ingenuity, Father, and a little initiative. We thank You for Your commission to us, a mandate to occupy until You come. We hope that we'll be doing this right when You come back. We pray in Jesus' name. Number 439.
39. Said kind of a double stewardship day in a way here. Talked about some stuff like this morning. Maybe this brings some clarity to something. We often hear that we're supposed to be occupying. Maybe you have a little different idea of what that occupying means now. It is a noble calling. It's a noble calling to stand and to do, but not only stand and do and occupy in the sense of a presence, but it's also a privilege to be given something by which we are supposed to give gain to the Lord when He comes back and calls us to be accountable. Thank you.
let's look this way. We'll sing the last stanza.
Appreciate y'all being here all day today. Good crowd all day. I thought we had a really good spirit. Appreciate the singing. Let's close in prayer. I don't know if we're going to see Dave Leathert here again, so we're going to have him close in prayer.
Brother. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word. Power in it. Thank you for
Amen. Might make sure and say goodbye to Dave and Cassie here. I think they're going to probably be gone before Wednesday. Possibly not, but might say goodbye to them before they head out. So, good night.